Good morning, and welcome to Burlington East on this dreary spring January day. Please be seated. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Bob Dickerson, and I'm one of the elders here at Burlington East. I'd like to extend a special welcome to any visitors that would be here with us today. Please make yourself known to Reverend McCanch and sign the guest book on your way out. And
Hello to Ellen Stewart. We've been praying for you, Ellen, and it's really nice to see you back today. And we also wanted to wish you a happy birthday today, too. So when we're downstairs later,
Yes, please, all join us for fellowship downstairs. For the most part, I'm going to leave the announcements for you to read, but there's a couple I just want to bring your attention to. First, there is a movie night coming up called Mamma Mia this Friday night. Now, this is going to be a different presentation of Mamma Mia than you've seen before, okay? You have a chance to be the star yourself that night. So I do encourage people to come out and experience something a little bit different and have a fun evening with the Burlington East community. So looking forward to seeing many people out that evening. Also, just bring your attention, we're rapidly approaching Lent. Lent services will start on Ash Wednesday, February 10th at Brant Hills. Like previous years, we'll be doing a joint Ash Wednesday and Maundy Thursday service with Brant Hills. And this year, Ash Wednesday services at Brant Hills. And Reverend McCanch has promised me that Reverend Babbitts will not be allowed to call it off due to a snowstorm. People from Vancouver don't get to make judgments about snowstorms. And there is still lots of room to sign up for the Wednesday luncheon. Soups. There's lots of blank spaces on the calendar for people to make a soup for the Wednesday lunch, so please do so today. And a final reminder, so you don't get the nasty reminder from Bernardo starting next Monday, reports for the annual report are due by next Sunday, February the 7th. And with that, I ask you to take a moment of silence before the service begins. Thank you.
Our hope is in God, the God of all of our lives. God is our rock of refuge, a fortress against strength and shame. God has held us since our birth, so we are never in the full grasp of the unjust and the cruel. In love, God saves and supports us. Trusting in God, we continually offer our praise. And let's do so by beginning with our first hymn of praise, Hark the Glad Sound, number 118.
Amen.
We come before the Lord now with our prayers of adoration and confession, followed by the Lord's Prayer. Let's bow our heads in prayer. God of life, death, and resurrection, we are grateful for life and all of its gifts. Lord, we pray that you will increase in us the very stuff that life is made of, faith, hope, love, and especially love, that we may abide with you eternally through Christ. God, you are our deliverer as well. And we confess, Lord, that there are times when we are too reluctant to speak and live according to your truth, a simple truth in so many ways, but a very large truth at the same time. That truth being that love that you offer us freely. Because we are who we are, Lord, sometimes we grow comfortable with the way things just are. We can passively just condone injustice that we see around us. We refuse to make a difference or try to make a difference, even in a small way, in the things that we see around us. We see ourselves sometimes as insiders and excluding those that we consider maybe outsiders. We find it easier to pluck up and pull down, to destroy and overthrow, than to build and to plant. Forgive us, God, for being timid at times, timid disciples of your love. Empty us of fear and shame, and fill us with a love that's humble and patient and kind. We pray this in the name of the one who humbled himself, Jesus the Christ. And we pray the prayer that he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God has loved us since the very beginning. God has loved us before we were even who we are in so many ways today on this earth. God's love for us will never end. Do not fear, therefore, but have faith in God's steadfast love, God's healing power, and God's ability to make all things new through the resurrection and life of Jesus Christ. Amen. it's so lovely to hear classic kind of gospel hymns, and that was a lovely piece, so well arranged. Thank you, choir, for that inspiring message that we do need Christ every hour. Genesis 2 says the following, "And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Now I read that partly for what we're about to do, but I also point out here that it does not say anywhere in that reading that there is an apple involved. There's fruit maybe on that tree, but no apple. I mention that too because I remember doing a youth group study time many, many years ago now, and I had a bunch of older teens sitting in the room, and I asked them the question, what did Adam and Eve eat in the Garden of Eden? And they all said, all of them said, an apple. And they said, well, let's try and find that in the writings of Genesis. And they were very stunned that it didn't say apple. It's important that we do take our scriptures as they're read or written and read them appropriately. And that tree of life is an important tree in that particular story, and certainly it can be symbolically in our lives. Revelation 22 says this, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as a crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no more night. They will need no more light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever." So there we have it in the very first book of the Bible and in the very last book of the Bible, a reference to something very special, the tree of life. This morning we have this lovely banner that's been put together. We're dedicating that for our quiet room and a time together. And I asked Janine, who put this together, to put some words about what sort of inspired this particular banner. And the tree of life certainly is that. And I'm going to read your words, Janine, at this time. I know you took some time to put that together, and I appreciate it. And I was going to work with it, but, you know, I really like what you said, and I'm going to read that out so everybody has an understanding of what this banner is. "Why did I create the banner of the tree of life? A tree is strong. The winds wrap around the trees over the years and turn and curve their stumps around, and over time, as they age, we climb them. We look up to them. The tree's roots hold the tree strong and tall and leans on water from above and rivers and lakes. We still today rely on trees for wood, as for our homes and furniture and tools. And as trees grow old and die, so do we. God has a purpose for us, as trees do as well. Their leaves sprout and bloom, and then they fall, and so do we. And we join our souls together, and we make families, and we too fall, leaving our loved ones to sprout and bloom each season and carry on. That's life. I believe everyone has a story about their tree growing up, and a banner of the tree of life for our quiet room just might bring back memories for those going through a funeral or having to sit in a quiet room waiting to go through a loved one's funeral service and moments to come and having to see so many people in the church and afterwards. It brings memories to hold on to. I can't agree more. It also gives us the time as we're sitting in the quiet room to think about that tree of life that God has given all of us. The blessings of life that come and again and are fed, as we read in Revelation, and that crystal water that only God can provide. It's a wonderful thing to look at and think about, our roots and all the symbology that's there, and who are we grounded in. So I'm very pleased today that we are dedicating this banner to our quiet room, and I'll leave it up here for now, but when we're in the quiet, if you take time in the quiet room, please look at it and think about it. Look at all the different aspects of it and the colors, and let God's Spirit speak to you. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we dedicate this banner, the Tree of Life, to the glory of God in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May it be a sign visible to all who come to our church and come to our quiet room of the commitment to live by the wisdom from above, which is pure and peaceful and gentle and friendly and compassionate and good, free of prejudice and hypocrisy, and produces a harvest of good deeds. We thank you for the hands and creative mind of Janine Decker, who's worked so painstakingly on this as an act of love and service to you, O Lord. So we also dedicate ourselves as individuals and as a congregation to follow in the footsteps of Jesus by becoming peacemakers who plant in peace in order to produce a harvest of goodness, that this tree can remind us of all of these things from this day forward. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Janine. Yeah. Yes. So well, in that light, let's join together now in our next hymn of praise. Jesus' hands were kind hands, some 631, and we'll have the children come up at the end of the first verse. Box is in a tighter spot today. Oh, let's see. You guys can take the lid off there and see. What do we got in here? Yeah, that's right. Let's take a look. Okay, so we've got two items here today. We've got a cup and a cross. Okay, now you're probably wondering why I put those in there maybe. Maybe, are you? You're thinking, why did he put a cup in there? Well, can you read what it says on that cup? What's it say? Want to try the other side? What's that say?
Tim Hortons.
See, we're going to talk today about loving things. And you know what? One thing I really love, what do you think? What would you put in this cup from Tim Hortons?
Coffee.
Yes, that's right. I love coffee so much. Yeah, I do. And then when I wake up first thing in the morning, I'm getting a cup of coffee. Then I can talk to everybody, just as everybody knows. Not that anybody's getting up with me in the first thing in the morning, I suppose. I hope.
I
drink tea sometimes too, but I really, really love coffee. You know something else I love? I love my wife. Now, does that maybe make a problem? How can I love my coffee and a person? Shouldn't that be different? Yeah, I see, it's complicated. I bet you a better way maybe to say that is, I really like my coffee. I really like my coffee. But something I really love is my wife. Because what does love mean? Do you know? That's a big word. Yeah. Love means that you really, really care about somebody. And you usually see the word somebody is always in there.
I know how to spell love.
Yeah, how do you spell love?
L-O-V-E.
Very good. Now what do we got here? Brett, what's this? This is a cross. And I put this in here because I wanted to tell you that God doesn't just like us like we might like a cup of coffee. He loves us. He loves us so very, very much that, he gave his life for us. And that's a pretty big thing. And Jesus said, greater love has no one that they might give up their life for somebody. And that means they believe it so immensely, so intensely. And we're so thankful that God loves us much more than coffee, right? And that our moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas love us even more than a cup of coffee. It's a good thing, isn't it? Yes. Can we say a prayer together and we can maybe, how about we stand up together and hold hands? Can we do that? And we'll say a little prayer together and you repeat after me, okay? Dear Jesus, thank you for your love.
Thank you for your love.
And also for your like. And we pray in your name.
Amen.
Thanks, guys. Let's see if we'll go off to Sunday school. And we'll sing the last verse of our hymn, Seated.
Yeah.
prepare to hear God's word read this morning, let us bow our heads in prayer. Holy Spirit, as the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah in his time, bring this word to us today. Touch our mouths and our hearts with your word today that we may build on it in our lives and in the church and in your world, and by that, knowing your love all the more. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. The first scripture that we're reading this morning is our responsive psalm, and it's Psalm 71 in your Psalters. Psalm 71 is traditionally ascribed to David, and as I've mentioned numerous times, the book of Psalms is traditionally broken into five different books. Psalm 72, the very next one, is the last of book 2 and concludes, "The prayers of David, son of Jesse, are ended." We're going to be taking an in-depth look at Psalm 71 this morning. So what I want us just to remember is that Psalm 71 is in that class of psalms called a lament. A lament being someone's almost shaking their fist at God out of the frustration of things that are going on in their lives. And as our reading this morning, you won't get that feel right away, because the laments always start out by saying, here's great things that God is, and then I'm going to offer my complaint to God and then say some more good things. It's the long history of a relationship between God and the believers. It's sometimes marked with disappointment, but equally by a recollection of the history of great things God has done. And that's one of the reasons I love reading Psalms. It's expressing the human condition. So we'll read responsively now, Psalm 71.
Psalm 71, reading verses 1 to 6. In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel.
Thank you, Amanda. Our Old Testament reading this morning is found in Jeremiah chapter 1. That's page 698 in your Pew Bibles. This is a reading from Jeremiah that is often read stating who we are, and as I referenced earlier in our service already, that the Lord has known us before we were born. Jeremiah is the prophet that speaks of great things that God is going to be doing and stating very clearly who we are before our Creator. Jeremiah 1, beginning at verse 4. Page 698. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, truly do I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." Our New Testament reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, page 175 in the New Testament portion of your Pew Bibles. This is the scripture often read at weddings. It's talking about love. And it would be interesting point that was made when I was doing some research on this that talks about looking in a mirror and not remembering and speaking as a child and all those things, not seeing our face very clearly. One of the things to keep in mind is when we look in, and I don't know if you've ever done this, compared to looking at yourself in a mirror, say compared to looking at yourself in a picture, you are reversed, of course, in the mirror. So what you see is not really what everybody else sees. And that's kind of a nice reference that Paul's put together there, that once we see ourselves before God, we'll see ourselves truly as others see us, as we truly are in that respect. It's a nice analogy. 1 Corinthians 13, beginning at verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been known fully. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. Our gospel reading is taken from Luke chapter 4. That's page 61 in the New Testament part of your pew Bibles. Luke 4, beginning at verse 21. And this is a very sort of interesting story that takes place here. It's one of the times when Jesus is making sort of these obscure statements and everybody gets angry and they try to throw him off of a cliff at one point. And it's a story that's not always remembered in the life of Jesus. And a great sort of quote comes out of this that we've known in our culture for a long time. It's not phrased the same way as our quote was remembered. It's remembered, physician, heal thyself. And in our translation, it's doctor, cure yourself, the same thing. But we are familiar with that, physician, heal thyself, and all of the adage that goes with that. Jesus is making some very poignant statements in this particular story. And one of the things that's interesting is that he's telling the people that everyone, basically, needs to be included. And that's why he tells the two stories that he does. They're non-Jewish people, so to speak, or non-church-going is a better, sort of more modern way to put that. And they, too, should be included in all that we love and care for. Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 21. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do hear also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did in Capernaum.' And he said, 'Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in a prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel at the time of prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman, Syrian. When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of a hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way." This is the word of God. Let us join our hearts together now in our next hymn, "O for a Thousand Tongues to Sing," number 374.
Thank you.
Speaking with some research that I've done by research that was done by Pastor Louis Prontnicki of Maple Glen Church on a series of Psalms, and particularly today Psalm 71. What I'd like you to do is to take your psalters out again and turn up to Psalm 71, because I'm going to be referencing some readings there, and I'd like you to actually sort of be able to look at those verses as we look at it. Today's topic is something that I find even myself struggling with at times, and I say that because I've been watching documentaries on different famous people and stuff of that nature, and watching sort of current pop culture and feeling very disconnected from it these days in some regard. And I think we all sort of hit a watershed moment on our lives at times when it's kind of like, and it, of course, it means we're getting a bit older. You may be aging with a back brace or a knee brace. You may no longer have the energy to join in the chase. There's probably aging showing on your face, but God wants us all to age with grace. Aging is when you might have trouble tying your shoelace, and these days, I got to tell you, bending over to get my shoe is a long way down. And you may, in a group of young people, feel out of place, but God truly wants us all to be aging with a grace. Aging is when doctor's visits become an ever-increasing part of your pace, and when your memory is fading without a trace. But when you're aging with grace, you look forward to moving on to a much higher place. Let's pray. Dear Lord, help us to understand that you truly are our rock and our fortress. Help us to understand your love is the greatest love we can understand and live by. And Lord, open our hearts and minds this morning, not to my words, but for they're nothing before you and your people in that sense. Only your words can truly pierce through the noise of our busy days and our feelings and emotions and quiet our hearts to listen. Speak to us this day, lover of our souls, Jesus. In your mighty name, amen. So let's face it, more of us in our congregation truly are getting older, and it's not just our church. There are millions here in our country who are age 65 and older. It's almost, I think, 1 in 8, maybe a little higher than that by stats. And 50 years from now, that number is going to more than double, and probably even less than 50 years from now, really, when you put the numbers on that. We're looking at an aging community in general terms. And it's so appropriate, I think, that we understand what God has to say to us who are older believers or have older believers in our lives, because that's another thing, that's another side to this coin as well. But what about those who are young, those who are decades away from being elderly? Well, there's three quick truths to think about here. God commands for us to take care of the elderly. God commands us to learn and to honor the elderly. And one day you're going to be elderly as well, so get it right now. Let's take a quick look at Psalm 71 in your Psalters. Psalm 71, as I said, it's an older believer almost, the way it's written, who's pleading to God against his enemies, and he asks God's blessings for his later years. He does so in full confidence of faith, and he's strengthened his faith by a long and remarkable experience of God's providence and God's deliverance. Therefore, this older believer anticipates a gracious reply from the Lord and promises to glorify the Lord exceedingly. This is a psalm, it's a prayer, it's a song for all believers, but we can see maybe a little bit of an inclination to those who are a bit older, maybe those who are facing declining health or struggles in life, and know that the end, the death might be getting closer. It sounds morbid, but it's a thought. Let's open, then we've got them there. So verses 1 to 4. In you, O Lord, I've taken refuge. I'm reading for a little bit different translation. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of evil and cruel men. Though older believers can feel at times that they're fading and declining, they also know that God himself never grows weaker. And so we can all the more go to him in our time of need and find that his grace is more than sufficient for our struggles. Though the psalmist is struggling, and we clearly hear that in this voice, God's grace gives him a faith in the Lord that will never stagger or fall. The older we get, the sweeter God's grace should seem to us in our weakness and need. The psalmist here seeks his help in the Lord, especially in times of struggle and need. For God is our refuge. God is our rock of refuge. God is our fortress. A mighty fortress is our God. He is our deliverer, the one who hears us, the one who rescues us, who saves us from all our foes and all our enemies. We start now looking at verse 5. For you've been my hope, O sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you and you brought me from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become like a portent to many, and you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long, your glory all day long, as it says here. In the midst of his struggles, the psalmist is encouraged by recalling the Lord's faithfulness to him all the days of his life. In times of trouble and difficulty, if you are an older believer, you should be able to recall decades worth of God's mercies on you. And that's the line that describes Scripture to us, in particular the Old Testament. The Old Testament is full of stories of God's faithfulness and steadfast love to his people. A steadfast love that goes beyond when they're feeling lost, or they have themselves, and they being the people in the story, have turned their backs on God. God's still there, hanging in. God still loves endlessly. Notice if we look in verse 5, it says, the Lord has helped this psalmist David from his youth, even from his birth and his safe delivery from his mother's womb. He reads his diary or journal and sees examples of how the Lord has delivered him in the past. And that journal that we can look at is Scripture itself. We can think of events in our own lives when we can look backwards and say, you know, that was the hand of God in my life. I could have made any decision at this turning point in my life, but I can see the hand of God. I digress from my notes for a moment. I was thinking yesterday, and particularly yesterday, because I was hobbling around my apartment, feeling kind of achy and old. There was an event, and I've shared this story before, part of it, when I was 16 years old, and a car drove into me at 80 miles an hour. 50 miles an hour, pardon me, 80 kilometers an hour, 50 miles an hour. He did not hit the brakes until he hit me. And the police officer came the next morning to see me because his sergeant didn't believe that I could have lived through that accident. I was riding a bicycle, and he hit me completely T-boned. And that's an event in my life. If I look back at sometimes I think, boy, if I hadn't got on that bike that day, if I just stayed home another half hour, my life would be so different. Those particular young years for me in high school, I could run like the wind. I was much thinner than I am now. And I'd just been asked to join the high school hurdling team because I could jump pretty high and run pretty fast. And that changed that direction. I never did be able to run the same after that. And it would be easy to look back in one sense and say, that shouldn't have happened. Boy, if that hadn't happened. But I also know that that event turned my life around. I can see that as a particular point in my life when I started to begin my journey with God. So without that moment, I wouldn't be here today. Without that single moment, I know for a fact I wouldn't be standing here today. That was God's hand in some way. Now, I know we struggle with bad things happening and saying, is that? I'm not saying God created that event. I'm saying God was there, even in that dark moment for me. God was there, and I can look back and I can encourage myself today when I'm hobbling around and aching and not feeling so great, to know that, you know, God's been with me a long time. That's what this psalm is telling us. We skip down into the areas of verses 9 to 12. That the Lord has been faithful, David's faithful protector and provider since his birth, even since his birth. So the psalmist believes that, David believes that God will continue to remain his help and his security when he faces new challenges, harder crises, and more things that are against him in his old age. It's important to remember back of these good things that God has done, so when we're facing the challenges of now, we know that God, we can one day look back to now and go, yep, God was working here too. Remember the truth that's spoken in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Every one of you here today, God has begun something wonderful many, many years ago. And God will continue to work that wonder out in your life as you journey through your life. And the hard times and the difficult times and the lonely times that come upon all of us at different times in our lives, God has been faithful. God is faithful. God will continue to be faithful. The reality is that we can know the Lord's presence and power even more when we're older and weaker, because we know we can't do anything else but rely on God's strength. The opening two chapters of Luke's Gospel, where the Lord ministers by his extraordinary grace upon a number of people who are quite up in years, Zechariah and Elizabeth, a special baby in their old age. And then we hear the story of Simeon and Anna, who are given the gift of seeing the Messiah as their child in their last few years of their life. God looks after us, has looked after us, and will continue. We jump down to verse 14. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. As we get older, what do we tend to talk more about? And that's always the sign when I'm with my buddies who I've known for 30 and 40 years, my computer buddies that I hang around with. And I stop us all the time. We're over at Tim's having our coffee. What is it we talk about? Our doctor's appointments, the pills, and our aches and pains. We know we're getting old. You know, that complaining kind of mentality that's there, sometimes even Christians can fall to this temptation. We want to just complain about how everything is today. I've been coming to church for 50 years and nothing, you know, it's that same kind of aches and pains. But we need to change our conversation sometimes and recall the wonderful things that God has been faithful to us as a congregation, we as a church, that God is filling us with hope and joy now because we can see what God has been doing in the past. And one day, as my father-in-law always said, one day these are going to be the good old days. Think about that for a moment. Not too long from now, we're going to remember 2016 as the good old days. I think about that when I was working at the school board. And when I started there as a young man, I remember all the older guys going, "That's not like it used to be here. It's terrible now. It's terrible." And I kept thinking, "This is pretty good here. I like it. Everybody's working. We're all happy. It's just lovely." But I got to a point at the end of my career at the school board, you know, it's not like it used to be. No, it's not. It was much better, you know. Well, we say the same thing in church, don't we? Often. Not like it used to be. But I've said time and time and again, and I say it again this morning. When we look back at the church in those earlier days in all of our lives, I can remember one minister telling me at a very big church in downtown Toronto, big, great, big place, saying back in the day, you know, back in the 40s, 45, I remember all the kids were lined up down the aisle all ready to get baptized on Sunday morning. There were 300 in our Sunday school. There was no place to sit for the adults. Those were the good old days. Well, I have a comment from today, and I've said it before. Lots of people came to church back then because that's what you did. You're here today, not because it's what you have to do, it's because it's what you want to do. And I think that makes a big difference. We're here today because we want to be. Now, I'm not passing judgment on the past in any way, but I'm just saying, look around. We're pretty full this morning. And we're all here because we've chosen to be here, not because we have to come here or we're expected to be here. That's a lovely statement of faith and hope in God. Statement of faith and hope in God. David teaches us, the older person, how to be patient in tribulation and to be joyful in hope by contemplating the grace that God, which he has already enjoyed, and how to drive away the bitterness of his pain by praising God as he dwells with his soul upon the recollection of those mighty deeds which so many pledges brought deliverance. Turn the page. This is part, the last three verses, that conclude almost every lament format in the Psalms and certainly state it for us. In particularly 23 and 24. It's what I'm going to do. So no longer am I worried about now, which is my lament or my complaint. No more am I going to just make statements about the wonderful things God did. But here's what's going to happen tomorrow. Here's what's going to happen in the next few minutes. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have rescued. All day long my tongue will talk of your righteous help. For those who tried to do me harm have been put to shame and disgraced. God will give us a victory in our lives. God will give us that special thing that we need. And I'm going to thank you, because I know it's going to happen. Very positive thinking in that regard. You know, older believers, we have a special privilege. We all have the chance to see God's faithfulness over our entire lifetime. Our troubles do not grow smaller as the years go by. They get kind of cumulative in our experience, but they can strengthen us in our confidence that God will always deliver us, as he always has. The last thing I want to say about this, Donna's not here, she's teaching Sunday school. Donna and I had a very different life when it came to the beginnings of our faith. Donna's always gone to church since she was a little kid. She's told me in private, and she's made statement publicly as well. She seems to have always known God. It's never been a big thing. She's just always known God. And I came to the Lord much later. I came to understand my faith much later. And it became something I remember for a time. Everybody wanted to hear my story, because I'm the guy that's always good at speaking. But they wanted to hear my story of my sort of change in my direction. And I used to say, you know who you want to hear? You want to hear Donna's story. She's been faithful to God as far back as she can remember. I love people like that. If you've been coming to church your whole life, praise the Lord. You've been faithful, and God has been faithful to you too, your whole life. You didn't start somewhere down the road, which is great that you know that's happened. But you've been faithful and known God's love that many more years. What a wonderful treasure that is. And as we age and get older, we have that whole book of our lives to rely on, to turn back and say, you know, when things are rough right now, what did God do a few years ago? I remember, wow. And he did it in that person's life. He did it in my life. I can read it in the Bible. I can hear it all over the place. Tomorrow's going to be better. I know it will be. And I'm going to look back at these hard times I'm facing at the moment and go, yeah, pretty good years. Those were the good years. Things weren't as good now as they were back then. God is faithful. Psalm 71, it's a lament, but it's a statement of God's faith. And may God's Spirit use these words from Psalm 71 and the words this morning to encourage all of us in our aging faith, in our aging physically, to turn to God forever and ever. Amen. Friends, let us love not only by our words, but also in our deeds and through our tithes and offerings that we present to God this day. Thank you. Lord, we thank you for this gift and offering. We pray that it would be used to your glory and your work in this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. Okay, please be seated. It's nice to have the Sunday School participating. They're doing this on a monthly basis and bringing their offering in. And having the kids participate is lovely. We come before the Lord in our responsibility today, in the gift and responsibility that we have to pray for our others and our world. We want to, again, thankful that Ellen's with us again this morning, and we've been praying very hard and long, and it's good to see you here, and we're so thankful to God for that. We also hold Margaret Gentle up in our prayers. Margaret's been in the hospital, and I was able to see her earlier this week. It was interesting because I couldn't find her. She was in Emerge at the time, and I asked one of the nurses where Margaret Gentle was, and they typed it up on the screen, and she's 95, come along, and they took me over to see her. Nurses were just so nice. But Margaret's had some breathing issues, but they're looking after her, and we do continue to pray for her. And David Brandt, who I mentioned a few weeks ago, who had a fall. David is still struggling to get out to service here. We're going to get him out here in the next couple of weeks when he's a bit better feeling. He took a fall and did a face plant. I get another way to say that. He doesn't remember falling, but he fell on a concrete sidewalk and no hands to block it, so he broke bones in his cheeks and fractured his skull and just a real mess. But he's doing very much better despite that. So we do continue to pray for him. And we want to hold John Donut's brother-in-law, Gord, up. He just passed away this Friday, and I know he's been struggling with his health for quite some time. And John, you've been visiting with him regularly and staying with him as much as possible. And we pray. So we pray for Gord. What's Gord's last name?
Gibson.
We pray for the Gibson family and in their time and getting things organized for his passing, and it's always a struggle on that loss. But we know, as we mentioned earlier, John, he's been ill for a while, so that his suffering is gone at this time. Let's bow our heads in prayer, folks. God of all goodness, we live in times of stress and controversy and injustice and cruelty, and at times we cry out to you, as we've read in Psalm 71 in our lament, for rescue, and we have to remember that we've leaned on you since our birth as we pray this morning. You are a God of all creation, and you are our hope and our trust. So, Lord, we pray for our leaders and our nations around the world that they can seek justice and peace. Lord, we pray for your church in all its forms, that we that we can love you the way you want us to love you, that you can move in the church, that the church continue to thrive and to grow and present that gospel message to those in need. We pray for victims of domestic violence, Lord, and victims of war, and we ask that you will grant your healing and your peace in these particular situations. And Lord, as we're praying these various sort of general topics, each one of us can have maybe something come in our mind, and those specifics, Lord, we hold to you as well. We pray for those, Lord, trapped in natural disasters. We ask that you'll embrace them with your calm and send them relief. And there's something, it seems, going on somewhere around our world, especially with all the weather changes that seem to be taking place. Places that were cold and snowy are not necessarily, and that's quite the opposite. Places that were not so snowy and cold are now. Lord, we pray for those who are ill and that are suffering, that they may feel comfort of your love and the helping hand of your church and the friends and family that they have who love you and you love them accordingly. Lord, we pray for those who are born this very day. We pray, Lord, for their future and their present moment. And Lord, we pray for those who might die today. We pray, Lord, that you can be with their families. And we have these names before us, Lord, of people who have been ill and people who have recently passed. Gord Gibson and people in need, David Brandt, Margaret Gentle, and each one of us has someone in our lives, Lord, that's in need, physical, emotional, spiritual. And Lord, we take a moment in silence, and each one of us thinks of that name and offers it to you now. Remind us, Lord, that whatever the issue, today we only know in part, and one day we will see all. Even now in faith and hope and love abide. The greatest is love, and it's your love that heals and works. Help us to be more like you, Lord, to love. And we pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our friend, and our Savior, our Redeemer. Amen. We'll sing our, join together and sing our final hymn this morning, There is a Redeemer, number 358. Prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. And now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, the greatest is love. God is a refuge, but never an escape. Therefore, go this day into a world where things are being pulled down and overthrown, where things are being built and planted. Go this day to open to the surprise of what God is doing and where and with whom God is at work. Go this day with that love that never ends, God made visible in you. And now may the love of God help you to bear all things. May the love of Christ enable you to believe all things. And may the love of the Holy Spirit inspire you to hope all things so that you abide in faith, hope, and love this day and forever.